Okay, so these are my open thoughts on Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty is an Adult Swim cartoon made by Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon. And it's about sort of like a Marty McFly, Doc Brown pair, but done by an evil person, of Rick Sanchez and Morty Smith. Morty Smith is a dumb sort of, I don't want to say talentless, but he doesn't have a lot going for him, is what I'll say. He's kind of a hapless little kid who's not especially smart, probably about 14. Mostly is there to act as the show's moral compass and be the character the audience can relate to with all the weird shit going on. And his grandfather, who recently came back into his life after being missing for several years, is Rick Sanchez. And Rick is a chaotic, neutral, crazy, mad scientist genius who is the smartest person in the universe, but has a very strange moral compass. And he ends up taking his grandson Morty on a bunch of adventures. And the adventures can be like, oh, let's go to a space station or whatever. But it usually ends up being like, oh, let's go smuggle some international space drugs in your butt and probably end up killing at least 5 people or dooming a separate universe. The show is very dark. And it sort of bounces back and forth between, like, dark comedy and just dark. I will say up front, I think Rick and Morty is an incredibly smart and well-made show. And I like it. I like it a lot. I should say it's not exactly to my sensibilities before watching. I'm more of like a slice of life, cutesy, Gravity Falls, mystery, Scooby-Doo, bad type. Like, you know, bad shows. I'm more into that. So Rick and Morty is, what's the word for it? I have a thing where I like it when shows have a karmic consequence. So, like, if you're a bad person, by the end of your character arc, you will have changed to be a better person or been punished for your transgressions in some way. Like, I like karmic things in a cosmic sense. And Rick and Morty is sort of the antithesis of that, which is not a criticism. I just want to point that out because I feel like that might color my thoughts a little bit. There's 3 other lead characters, and that's Rick's daughter, Beth, who is Morty's mom, who is sort of an alcoholic. She's a horse surgeon. It's strike through, not a person surgeon. So she's like smart, but has a lot of problems. She got pregnant with Rick because it's the first name in the title. She got pregnant with Morty's older sister, Summer, when she was she was in her teens, and that sort of took her life off the rails. And she resents her husband, Jerry, for that a little bit. She's also got huge abandonment issues with Rick because he left her as a little girl and was just like an AWOL dad. And now that he's back in their life, Beth has an inability to go like, hey, I gotta put my foot down, Dad. You can't do all this crazy, actually lethal, horrible Geneva Convention, Geneva Space Convention defying war crimey shit. You can't do that. And she never says anything along those lines because she's afraid that if she is too harsh with him, he will abandon her again. So that's a running theme in the show. Other than that, I would have to say out of the 5 leads, I think Beth is by far the least interesting character. She hasn't really gotten that many focus episodes, but when she does, I do think she's just like, I don't know. Beth and Morty don't have a ton of depth or complexity beyond like, yeah, they're just a regular character. Though Morty gets thrown in more interesting situations, so I think he shines through a little more. Also, Jerry. Jerry is Morty's dad, who's played by Chris Parnell, a.k.a. The guy who plays Cyril in Archer. I feel a little bad for Chris Parnell. I think he's getting shoehorned into this character role of lame, like, sweater vest-wearing, universe-beleaguered guy. Jerry is a sort of talentless loser who at the start of the show works at an ad agency, but is fired midway through season one, and I think is unemployed for the rest of the show. And it's kind of just, like, no one's ever impressed by him. He's got a bunch of insecurities, which that informs a lot of his actions. Rick openly just, like, I want to say not despises, but, like, is kind of disgusted and bored by him, et cetera, et cetera. And a big theme of most of the B plots of the show is that Jerry and Beth, usually just Jerry, often in season one. Jerry gets way more focused than Beth. I'm not sure why that is. Jerry and Beth have this incredibly capricious relationship where they're constantly like, "Did we do the right thing getting married? Are we like, is this good? Should we get a divorce? Would that be better for the kids?" Which, well, is kind of a realistic thing that they keep going back and forth on. I have to say, I am a little annoyed how much they waffle about it over and over and over again, which isn't really unrealistic, but, you know, you can only come back to the same driving force for a plot so many times before I start to go, like, didn't we just do this? Yeah, Rick and Morty, the characters are very, they're very complex, and I should say, it's very, it thinks very highly of its audience. Like, Rick and Morty leaves a lot unsaid, a lot of it is left to facial expressions and context and music and, like, little things the characters do in the animations, and you kind of have to just read into that. So, it's one of those shows that a lot of people theorize on. Like, there's an episode where Rick gets super depressed because this universe, or this planet controlling hive mind named Unity that he used to date, has, like, a very mature breakup thing with him, and is like, no, you, like, Rick, I like you a lot, but you are bad for me, you've got kind of a toxic personality, blah, 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 and that, like, puts him into a depressive spiral at the very last 2 or 3 minutes of the episodes, and just on screen he tries to, like, commit suicide, but fails because he's too drunk, and his head swings out of the way of a lethal death beam at the last second. So, that's sort of the tone this show is. And there's, like, a ton of, like, that scene itself, there, I've seen, like, essays written on that scene, so people are like, this show's so good! And you might have noticed with things like Adventure Time, where I hate it when people are like, look how deep this is through interpretation, and Cowboy Bebop, where it's a little shakier, even though I do think there's more of seeds of truth there. I think Rick and Morty is one of the few shows I would say is doing that on purpose and encourages it. Though, again, that's not a practice I love. I like, not certainty, but I guess the thing I dislike doesn't have anything to do with Rick and Morty, since Rick and Morty is a good example. I don't like it when shows are purposefully like, well, we don't really want to write out our thing, and we don't have a great idea, so let's just use show don't tell as an excuse to let people fill in their own blanks and make it scary. It's kind of like a bad horror game, where instead of showing the monster that you couldn't quite render or design very well, you try really hard to, like, never show the monster and, like, let the player's own anxieties build up and up and up. It's like that, but for theories. And it's like, oh, maybe this show's amazing, and maybe this game's really scary. Rick and Morty doesn't do that. It has a lot of substantial content. Everything feels very purposeful. The show also has a changing status quo for the most part, though it is generally episodic adventures with Rick and Morty going to some place, something happens. There's usually a B-plot involving Jerry, or it's usually the other three family members. So Jerry and Beth and their daughter Summer, who I haven't mentioned yet. Summer is, I like Summer a lot. Summer's a little like Wendy from Gravity Falls in that she is the season 2 redhead who's finally allowed to participate in adventures. And I think they're making her more and more just like, yep, she hangs out with them now. This is the plot. Because season 3 just started, so I could be super wrong. But it really looks like the status quo is now they just go on adventures together, and she's like Morty too. It's kind of neat, because I really like season 1, mostly because it's a little lighter. It has like a hope in its, what's the word for this? A hope in its like nihilism and nothing really matters-ness. That I think is encapsulated in my favorite line in the entire show, which is, there's a couple episodes with these like really dark, powerful ending moments, like Rick committing suicide, and in one of them, Rick and Morty fail on their adventure. That universe is just turned into mutants and monsters. Everyone dies, but their family, who becomes scavengers. So Rick and Morty leave and replace themselves in, I'm gonna call it Universe B. And because in that universe they save the world, but then they both died and they have to bury their own bodies. And that's status quo. That continues. So their graves are just in the backyard every episode, and they're just in that universe from now on. And Summer, there's an episode where like Summer overhears her parents like look at all the things we could have done had we not gotten pregnant accidentally with Summer. So she's leaving, and Morty walks in and he gives her a speech that accumulates with the line, because she's like, oh no, my place in life, I'm so annoyed by it that like people don't think I'm special. And I'm gonna butcher this, but Morty says, nobody exists for a reason, nothing happens on purpose, everyone's gonna die, come watch TV. And I like, that's like the line of the series for me, because I think it encapsulates what it does really well. Because after, when you go to all these different places in the vastness of space, and there's a million different universes that Rick can make, that Rick can venture to with this portal gun that he and only he has, because he just has interdimensional traveling. So really, yeah, nothing does matter. And he's very forward with that. Like, if Summer was to just die, they could just get a new Summer from a different universe, and she would maybe even never know. That's really all it takes. So in season one, the show is kind of a little more whimsical, is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it. It's a little more whimsical about that, where in season one, it's more like, nothing matters, who gives a shit, let's just watch TV for a little while. And that's fun. And then, season two is a lot more, nothing matters, god damn it, why are you such an asshole if nothing matters? Why are you always mean, Rick? I'm gonna just flat out try to murder you a couple of times, whatever. Like, in the... I guess the biggest difference is in the lens for the viewers, which is mostly Morty. It's starting to branch out to Summer and Rick a little more, but it's mostly Morty. In the first season, Morty's kind of wowed by Rick and wants to keep going on his adventures, and is like, we gotta keep doing this, it's really fun and neat, and I don't want to be a normal kid. But then as of season two, when like Summer's in his position, she's like, this is all really fucked up, Morty's like, wow, I don't... Like, yeah, that's your first race war you're watching there, Summer, huh? I remember my first race war. And he tries to be, like, more mature about it. And a big thing about the show is Morty keeps trying to apply these, like, more mundane, real-world, everyday senses of morality and right and wrong and how things should work to these universes Rick takes them to. It ping-pongs back and forth between, like, whether Morty is right or Rick is right, and usually Rick is right, which I'm fine with, but the show gets a lot meaner and meaner about it as it goes on, where it's like, in season two, just two examples, these are very similar, come to think of it, but there's like an episode where Morty finds out that Rick sells weapons to an assassin, and he's not okay with that, so he goes to stop the assassin, accidentally kills him while saving the target. And then in trying to escape with the target, kills about, I don't know, 300 more people. And then the target is like, thanks for saving me. I'm glad you hold the value of all life higher than your own. I am a higher dimensional being, and your race to me is like you're like a disease. So to save us, I'm going to go back to my place and kill your entire universe. So thanks, Morty. And Morty just kills him because he can't deal with that. So it's a very gray and dark gray morality spectrum. And to be honest, the ones I like the best, and again, this is just my sensibilities personally, I like lighter stuff, I'll be honest. I like the episodes where there's a little bit of hope in the craziness. Like, just like, yeah, whatever. Like, some people died, and like in the grand scheme of things, we don't matter. So why don't we just have some fun? I like that, where a lot of the episodes in season two are like, oh, there's a purge going on. You're going to try and save someone, Morty, like doing all this shit. And then you end up killing someone, and then you end up liking it. And blah, blah, blah. The show seems to be going on this, like, Morty getting more and more violent himself. Because, like, Rick is already super jaded. He's already seen all this terrible shit. And doesn't really respect Morty or Summer at all. And constantly mocks their limited worldview. And whenever he's like, all right, we gotta do this, so I'm just gonna kill this guy. And they're like, no, don't kill him. And then he escapes. And it's like, all right, great, that was a giant space aid monster, and he's gonna murder an entire planet. Way to go, kids. That sort of thing. And so the viewer is left in this weird limbo of, do I support Rick in his zero morality, usually right pragmatism, though sometimes he's wrong and is just a fucking asshole. Or do I support Morty, who obviously I should be in his shoes, but like he's, I found it's gotten harder and harder to watch their dynamic, because at first it's like Rick and Morty, they're buddies. Like there is a sense that even though Rick is an asshole and he mostly sees Morty as just like, you know, a little helper, like a shitty intern, basically. There is still that sense of, you are my grandson and I need to save you. And that comes up sometimes, very rarely. And he has a little of that for Summer as well. It hasn't come out as much yet because there haven't been as many Summer episodes. And I feel like that's been going further and further away in their casual conversations. Like, Morty is just always mad at the shit Rick is doing. And Summer never is. Summer's neat. She's like, you know, she's like just teenage girl, but she's also, I don't know, she's like weirdly, not bright. She's weirdly like to the point and forward about most stuff and is a lot cooler with the darker gray stuff on Rick's adventures, even when Morty isn't, even when she hasn't had as much experience with him. So it's a lot harder to critique this show in the usual way, because it's not like, I don't like that stupid character in their arc. It's very intelligently written. It's a little meta. They, like, often Rick will just turn to the camera and be like, we'll be right back after this commercial message. Am I right, guys? And then it just cuts. And that's funny. The voice acting's really good. They have a lot of professional actors. Like, an episode that I just watched, the second episode of season 3. Which is currently releasing. So hopefully nothing huge will happen that will immediately make this video pointless. But Joel McHale was in that one. And I love Joel McHale from Community. Yeah, the show is written by Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland and their team of writers. And for anyone who's familiar with Dan Harmon's work, especially when he's allowed to do whatever he wants and is off the leash, he's very, very, like, clever, referential in the actual best possible way, a little meta, really good at playing with tropes and expectations while making these deep, intricate characters, but also seems to be very, like, into nihilism against established systems, which is, a lot of that comes out in Rick, and is then explored through Morty being wrong about a lot of shit. Rick is probably the most interesting character on that note, just because, like, there's some episodes where it's, like, easy to see shit. Like, he'll be mad at someone, or, like, he'll be a dick to... In season one, there's an episode where Summer's, like, working for the devil. I think it's, like, the first Summer episode, and Rick stops their little thing. And he comes home and is like, oh, no one's here to hang out with me. It looks like that is indeed... Like, I do value Summer's opinion, but, like, you know, he doesn't say that. But when Morty finally comes home, it's like, oh, hey, Morty! Hey, Morty, what's up? Like, that type of stuff. So sometimes it's that easy. And then other times there's things like the suicide episode where it's just silent and playing this, like, soft, very powerful music at the end of the episode. And you only have his facial expressions to read, and that could be anything. There's episodes where he's like, yeah, let's fucking join this purge and kill some people. Watches the murders for 2 minutes. No, okay, alright, wow, that was even too much for me. Like, his boundaries change in interesting ways. He's a very interesting character. Because, like, I called him chaotic neutral. I might also call him neutral evil. Like, he's very close. He's a pretty terrible dude. I don't have a ton to talk about. I already have a couple lines of this video written, because when I watch through the show, I have, like, a little notepad document, and if I have an idea, I jot it down, and then I, like, put that into words, and then the rest of this is what I listen to back, and sometimes that will inform even more dialogue. But one of the ones that I wrote down, and I just want to mention here, because I... They did it again very, very briefly in the most recent episode. I want to call out, I think one of the writers, there's not really an easy way to say this. Summer has pissed herself or mentioned pissing herself like 5 or 6 times throughout the series. And I just want to call out whoever on the staff is sliding that one in there every 3 or 4 episodes. I'm not saying it's wrong to be into it. I'm just saying own up to it, guys. One other point, Justin Roiland plays a lot of the supporting cast, and I'm really glad they're like, you know, it's a big show now. Like people like Rick and Morty is really, really well reviewed. Like everyone who watches it really likes it. It's pretty much a, it's for me or it's not for me. And if it is for me, I fucking love it show. There's not a lot of, yeah, it's all right. Like even I, when it's not really my sensibility, I think it's an amazingly made show. Like I'd give it like an 8 or a 9 out of 10, maybe 9.5 even on some of the good episodes. But, in the first season, Justin Roiland, who voices both Rick and Morty, and I think he does those two well, voices like at least one extra in every single episode. And Justin Roiland has a super distinct voice. Like he can do like, I'm going to say 4 voices. And most of those are in that spectrum between, like, you know, I'm Answer My Eyes Johnson! Like, between, like, Meeseeks, Lemon Grab, Blendin' Brandon, like, that sort of area. And, like, every, especially in season one, like, fucking everyone was voiced by Justin Roiland. Which, like, that, I gotta be honest, that sort of bothers me. I hate it whenever it's, like, everyone is voiced by someone. And even in, like, Gravity Falls, when Alex Hirsch voiced, like, a third of the goddamn cast, like, I thought he did a great job as, the as like, Seuss and Grunkle Stan and then, like, McGucket. But past that, it's like, those are... Oh, and Bill. And it's like, those are his voices, though. Like, anytime an NPC who he voiced speaks, it's like, that's Alex Hirsch, and I know. And that takes me out of it a little. And I thought Gravity Falls was better about it than Rick and Morty was in its first, like, season and a half. But now it looks like they're popular enough that they've got some big-name actors in the bench all the time to voice everyone, in addition to what I'm going to call the Futurama cast voicing the rest of everyone. So there's a lot of, like, Tress MacNeille, Maurice LaMarche, they've got some Keith David in there. So it's really good. Like, I just say, I was a little nervous when this one got picked because Rick and Morty is a really smart show that is very hard to criticize. So I think I'm going to be less criticizing it and more like pointing out stuff it does a lot. So just like lines that go through more than one episode, like tones it strikes, stuff it does multiple times, like ending an episode on a really dark moment with some like soft, powerful music playing. And it's like, wow, maybe this is like a deeper show, or not deeper, but like, wow, this isn't just like an Adult Swim show. This is like really well written. I would like to say, I should mention, I fucking hate Adult Swim. I hate like every single show they've ever made almost. Like all the Super Jails and Squidbillies and Oblongs or whatever. Like all of those just, ugh, I can't even watch an episode of them. So I think it speaks to it that Rick and Morty still kind of hits that vibe that those go for. Because it is still, like they have a little bit of that like, yeah, fucking party and snort some magic space crystals aesthetic. And they've got a couple acid trip sequences, like the Goodbye Moon Man song in the Rick, Morty, and Fart episode. See, Rick, Morty, and Fart episode. Doesn't this sound like a smart show? But it's like, it manages to capture all the best parts of Adult Swim. And it is one of, it's nice to have, I have to say, it's really nice to have another Western cartoon that's animated and be like, yeah, this is a really good show. Like, not even like, this is a good cartoon. This is a good TV show. Most people would like it. So yeah, that's, I guess that's all just, there's not too much to say. So this will just be a shorter one. I hope nothing comes out in the show that renders my video immediately pointless. Bye.